Good morning. This is Michelle Schroeder-Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM. And our guest in studio today is local small businessman, filmmaker, activist, and good friend, Matt Briggs. His new film, Deep Green, opened to the public last night at the Baghdad and will be playing tonight and tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, 5:30 and 8 o'clock on Friday. And it will be at the Baghdad, and the tickets are available in advance at the Baghdad, or you can go to www.deepgreenmovie.com, and we'll be giving you that information throughout our discussion. Well, welcome. Welcome to KBOO, another important local entity that's working for the betterment of the world. Before we talk about your movie, Matt, I'd like you to let the listeners know a little bit about your background and how you came to this movie. I mean, I know you're an activist, fabulous musician, father, a small businessman. So this is a new endeavor and a really interesting story. So tell us a little bit about how you came to making the movie.
Well, I've always been interested in both the science and the arts. I went to college forever, it seemed, almost 12 years, and ended up going through chemistry and music and eventually Chinese medicine. So, but I was going to go work in the Solar Energy Research Institute in Colorado when I was 27, and then somebody gave me a huge mansion with 11 acres around it with two grand Steinways, and I put that on hold. But in the last 10 years, I started going to Bioneers conferences and getting back into really deep research on the environmental situation we find ourselves in, and it really scared me.
Yeah.
So that's where it started.
And prodded on by not only your political activism, but the fact that you have two kids.
Yeah. If you read the data, and I've spent over 6 years reading 500 books, 10,000 articles going to...
See, that college didn't go to waste.
30, I learned how to learn in college. I let that be a great lesson. You learn how to learn so when you decide to do something yourself, you can really nail it. And when you really look at this situation, the consequences of inaction are just too great to stand by. You got to act.
Well, it's a model of activism in a local, and but it grew from a concept and that some people might also have to one that is pretty enormous. This has taken how long?
We're in our seventh year.
Okay, just to give people an understanding of what it takes to make a movie. And first of all, I've seen the production, and the production quality alone is unbelievable. And of course, the music is unmatched, which I would expect as well. But let's now talk a little bit about the movie, because it covers the enormous and complex issues of climate change and the environment. You know, it's almost too big to cover, and you do a really good job of kind of breaking it into sections. So why don't you give us an overview of what you tried to cover and how?
Well, it started out as a weekend shoot to show what one person can do in their house to live lighter on the planet. And then we looked around in Portland and found out that some of the best green builders in the world live here. So it expanded to how you can save energy and be smart about building buildings. But when you start looking at buildings, you look at communities, and transportation becomes part of that. And then local food and agriculture and organic agriculture becomes part of that. And then how you use energy in that system and how you clean the energy. And, and then how you keep the natural systems working for you instead of against you, so you don't kill the ocean or cut down all the forests. And so it just expanded to what it needed to be. So we covered basically the... how you lower the load, then clean the load, and then restore the natural world so you're at a steady state, stable for climate change.
Well, and again, the metaphor is also that it went from local to statewide, as you said, and you looked in Portland and the green builders, then you looked at the state, then you looked at the United States, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in China and around the world. So... it's a metaphor of growing in that direction and expanding. So maybe talk a little bit about your travels and how that informed what you were going to need to or felt compelled to explain.
Yeah, I've spent over 3 years of my life traveling through 50 countries, so I'm pretty familiar with the world. We deal with 28, 29 countries in my business. What happened with us was the green builders from Portland decided to go to China and share. And so we followed them to China. And then when we were in China, we saw they were just opening it up for the Olympics. So journalism could actually go out.
Unescorted and kind of...
Still escorted.
Less filtered.
Yes. In fact, the two guys who took Nixon and Kissinger around were the same two guys that had to okay us as okay guys who didn't have a cook story that China's all crap. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're evil and, you know, blah. And almost everybody else who goes to China has the story in advance. And we were letting the story lead us. And I think that we had an open mind. So we let them do their pitch and made our call later.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I want to remind our listeners, I'm speaking with local activist, filmmaker, and friend Matt Briggs about his new movie, Deep Green, We Can Fix This. And it is playing at the Baghdad again tonight and tomorrow night at 6 o'clock and on Friday at 5:30 and 8. You can go to the website to find out about tickets and ticket information or call the Baghdad as well. I know that there's, you know, it's a huge and, like I said, enormous subject to cover. But in light of some things that have happened, none of the Gulf oil catastrophe had occurred when you made this film. And how does that impact or relate to the film and energy that, you know?
Well, the main thing we're trying to do in this movie is to show how you can get off fossil fuels, because fossil fuels are really causing the problem. That's the man-made part of global warming. There's background stuff that's natural, but we're kicking it over the edge. And it's almost all from burning fossil fuels. So the ones you have to get rid of are coal, oil, natural gas. Coal is almost all for electricity. So if you reduce your electric demand and clean up the electricity with renewable electricity, that solves that. With oil, it's somewhat similar. The best way to get rid of electricity, to get rid of oil dependence, is to electrify transportation over time. You can increase miles per gallon with cars. You can go like that. But the main thing is to electrify transportation. And we can do that with mass transit. We can do that with high-speed train networks that eliminate planes and eliminate driving between cities, which is happening in Europe. The high-speed train network in Europe is going to triple in the next 10 years. They're building high-speed train networks in China like crazy. There's 110,000 people working on the line just between Beijing and Shanghai. They're going to finish it in 2 years. If there's commitment to that, you can stop a lot of the driving between cities, up to 400 or 500 miles. With cars, which is the way we usually spend our money and use our gasoline, electric cars are coming for the first time this year in the Nissan Leaf, the Chevy Volt. But as I was straightening out last night, I'm still learning. One of the guys from the Oregon Electric Car Association said, hey, you know, you can retrofit a car that already exists for $10,000. You don't need to buy a Tesla for $100,000.
Well, that's a good thing.
So, you know, if you're only going 25 miles, you can use existing technology and have an electric car for $25. And my best solution here is to do something like that and then put solar panels on your roof through something like the Solarize Portland mass purchase thing, where you get 80-90% off your payback. If you use electricity instead of gasoline and you get 80 or 90% off of an installation in solar, is 2, 3, 4 years. Where else can you get a return on your investment of 30 to 50%, 25 to 50% now? You know, it's a good deal. So the money meets the environmental here. You could save money and you could do things for the planet. It's now common sense.
And it now becomes increasingly not only more financially feasible, but in light of what we see in the Gulf, I think for the first time, some people have rubbed up or bumped up against the reality of the situation, which has been hidden in great part due to the fact that, first of all, nobody wanted to directly look at it. And the second is that there's been a huge effort and by the powers that make money to make sure you don't look too hard in that direction. It has been cheaper and more subsidized and easier to do what we've been doing than to change direction.
You know, Michael Pollan put it best when we interviewed him on food, on what you have to do with the food system.
Yeah, and lots of our listeners will be familiar with his books and his take.
He said that it's been a great ride. You know, it saved us a lot of work. It's been real convenient, you know. But now we got to grow up and move on to what we have to do. You know, I mean, it's like a child growing up and letting go of all this support system that is unrealistic. You know,
yeah.
The parents driving you everywhere.
Right.
Giving you all your money, taking care of you, doing everything. And now you have to go deal with the real world. It's the same way with giving up on fossil fuel, phasing out fossil fuels. It's like a crutch that has consequences. Got to let go.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the nice things about the movie was that there was a very hopeful and I think supported feeling about it. And probably coming from the fact that it's deep green, we can fix this. Again, I think that sometimes it's difficult with the pervasive overall feeling of helplessness and hopelessness to be able to move forward and understand that this is a very complex problem that's taken a long time to get here. We can fix this. That's the really only choice, is to start now.
And, you know, we know that making people fearful and doom and gloom and showing people technology was not the way to get people to come see a movie. You know, it's either going to scare them to death or be boring. So we have 12 animation pieces from Bent Image Lab in here and a guy from Pixar who's now doing a movie for DreamWorks named Pascal Campion, a real genius. We've got a score from Randy Porter, his first score. And it's just mind-blowing. We had donations from REM, from Fish, Michael Hedges of Tunes. We have SpongeBob as the Tom Kenny as our voice guy in the animations for free. These people donated stuff. It's a nice ride. It's an upbeat. The music is upbeat. It's a love story of the Earth. So it's an easy thing to take in. And if you can't remember everything, just, you know, go buy a DVD and watch it again.
Yeah, or share it. And like I said, one of the nice things, and I want to remind our listeners, one of the nicest things was, again, for children, young adults, et cetera, it wasn't this oppressive, overwhelming, fearful image. It was a supported and thoughtful and like you say, the music and the scores and the identification with the hopefulness of the people that you interview. How did you find the people that you ended up choosing and to interview about their particular projects and contributions?
It was a long process of filtering out, and we actually have 125 people we interviewed, and we probably used 20. And we concentrated on 6 or 7. We kept simplifying. But a lot of research, reading all the books, seeing who's the best at what they do in energy efficiency and food. And we found magical people. A woman, Barbara Finnemore, who started the NRDC in China 20 years ago on a shoestring and just started doing things for the Chinese government for free until they finally
recognized.
And now she's probably the most important, one of the more important people on the planet, because she's the main shaper of policy for energy efficiency and climate change and green building policy in China because they trust her as an intermediary. These kinds of people are really key, important.
Highlighted and throughout the movie, you get to meet and see these individuals who have, you know, made a huge impact.
Some are kind of spiritual like that. Other ones are engineers like Amory Lovins of the Rocky Mountain Institute, or the guys from the DLR in Germany, in that's the German NASA, who have devised a giant international smart grid between the Sahara Desert and solar steam engines in the Sahara Desert and offshore wind and high-voltage DC lines that are going to go under the Mediterranean through different time zones to Europe and run 25% of all the power of Europe in 20 years. And the people who are financing this is very interesting to me. It's the reinsurance companies like Swiss Re and German Re, because they're the guys who insure all the other insurance companies, and they know they're going to be out of business with increased power of hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, and rising sea levels. So they're just saying, we got to survive, we have to change. And that's the kind of way we have to think.
Yeah. Well, and again, interesting back to the, you know, oil, Gulf oil catastrophe, we also start to see with that a big spotlight on some, on a piece that, like you say, is often left out, which is the real cost. The real cost of oil, the real cost of energy, the real cost of natural gas, not just what you pay for it when you consume it, but all the subsidies, all that we give up, all that we have to mitigate afterwards. And again, it starts, we are at a precipice and where it starts to, you know, I mean, at a climax in which it starts to make real financial sense to move forward in a different direction.
The worldwide subsidies for fossil fuels, on a tighter estimate recently, are $500 billion a year. You can deploy a lot of renewable energy for that. The difference in the subsidies for renewable energies, nuclear to renewable, is 40 to 1. I don't even know what it is, fossil fuel to. So if people complain about subsidies to renewables, just talk about the ratio. The thing I want to talk about with the Gulf, they bring up the oceans being in danger from an oil leak, but from the carbon falling from the sky and going into the oceans from us burning it, it's turning into carbonic acid and acidifying the oceans. And it might be a slower kill, but in 20 to 50 years, we don't even know, shelled animals in the ocean will no longer be able to make shells because the acid of the ocean will be ripping off the shells faster than they make it in. Plankton, lots of plankton, are shelled animals. So if you take the main part of the bottom of the food chain away, you're going to wipe out the top of the food chain, and you're just going to have, I think you'll lose 90% of all the fish, all the coral reefs, and you'll have maybe oceans full of jellyfish. So you've got a quick deterioration in the Gulf, but it's a slow deterioration from the sky, from burning.
So this just, again, highlights this is a, you know, the Gulf oil catastrophe is a way to identify it in its enormity right now. But like you said, it's a continuum that's been going on for a while, and we need to change the direction.
Yeah, and it's, I think the message really is that it's things are much worse than you think and are coming faster than you think, really, truly. When you aren't going to be able to grow food in central continents by the end of this century and when the temperature is up 10 degrees if we don't do anything, that's real trouble. When China's going to run out of water in 30, 40 years as the Tibetan thing melts. And it's so much easier to fix than people think. The economics are really good, and if we loan ourselves the money in advance, all that money will be paid back in a neutral, absolutely neutral financial over 20 years. We can fix this.
We can fix this. So again, I want people to know that we've been speaking with activist and filmmaker Matt Briggs about his new movie, Deep Green. We can fix this. And it will be playing tonight and tomorrow night at the Baghdad at 6 o'clock, Friday, 5:30 and 8. For tickets, you can go to www.deepgreenmovie.com, or you can contact the Baghdad. Matt, is there anything that else that you want to cover? I mean, I know that the movie does a great job of speaking for you, since that's where you put your energy and life's blood for the last several years. But is there anything that you want to tell our listeners that you think is particularly important?
I think the other bad guy, besides oil, the natural gas also has some problems. The main bad guy is coal. And the main usage of coal is for electricity. And the main way to get off coal is to reduce demand with energy efficiency, conservation, just being smart about the way we use energy, and then cleaning the rest of the load, you know, with renewable energy over a period of time, with renewable portfolio standards, a certain amount of deployment of renewable energy that replaces coal. And I think the key technology for that is solar thermal energy, steam engines in the desert that can store energy 7 hours after dark in phase-changing. So anyway, you're going to have baseload power from the desert. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Wow, wonderful. Well, it's always encouraging. And I think you said something really pertinent and important, which is people can take away and quibble or discuss or argue about different parts of the movie and whether they believe that to be completely relevant or necessary or important. But we do know this. It is no longer sustainable the way we're going. Decisions are going to be need to be made. And I give the environmental and climate change supporters and peoples a big lead to say, we didn't know, you know, certainly Gulf, the oil in the Gulf, people didn't know that that was going to turn out this way. So if we don't know how everything's going to turn out, that's kind of okay, too. Let's err on the side of trying and doing. And I want to encourage our listeners to go to the website and go to the movie. Matt, I want to thank you for all your effort and energy, time and commitment. It's important that, you know, these are people that are local, really making an important difference in all of our lives. I want to thank you for that.
Thanks, Michelle.
And I want to encourage everyone to go to the movie and the website, which is www.deepgreenmovie.com. It's at the Baghdad tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday. So this is Michelle Schroeder-Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM Portland.